Tiger Bomb Sports Audio Entertainment presents The Process. Welcome back to your home for football and fantasy football, where we learn, scout, win, and repeat. Time to continue the process. What's up, y'all? It's your boy, Ralph Luck, your host of The Process, coming to you for episode 7. How's everybody doing? Hopefully we had a fantastic week 6. Hopefully we brought home some bacon in terms of DFS. Hopefully we got a seasonal win or two, or however many leagues you're in. Either way, great to huddle up again this week. If you're new to the show, we just kind of get right down to it, but we do love first-time offenders. We also love hard heads here. So we do love repeat offenders, so I would welcome you guys back too. Not as hesitantly as I sounded there. I'm actually more excited than that to have you. Excited to talk about week 7. Excited to give y'all the goods. That's what we do here. The process is just that. Getting the best free information that you're going to come across this week. Of no risk to you. I'm not asking anything from you other than to consider it. Remember, the way the process works is I give you a little bit of insight, but also give you the way that I get there so that you can have me as somebody to bounce your ideas off. You need to know what we're talking about here. Be on the same page. This will help you leverage your decisions moving forward. That's better than just telling you to play this person. Having you understand why. Better yet, having you understand to go back and do the research if you wanted to on your own and where I go and get it. Having you do that, knowing how to at least do it if you want, is so much more valuable to me than just spitting out an answer to you. So we're all about being proven over here if this is new to you. If I'm wrong, we'll call it that way. If we're right, you can decide for yourself where that makes me. This is one of those weeks, though, where we got nothing but love for the fantasy football gods for the way we were treated and caressed last week. Just bust a spew of victory all over the DFS world. Cash game was fantastic on the higher upper echelon of that. And the tournaments, I didn't really nail too much there, but we were very close. But look, when you play a small percentage of what you're investing in the tournaments and the larger percentage in the cash games, the more easier contests, then the wins, we'll call it a win, right? Because you're bringing back more than you put out. That's what this is about. Remember, having this thing pay for itself so we can play daily fantasy football, because let's face it, once we get good at seasonal, that's going to get boring. Winning seasonal football is boring sometimes. And so we don't want to take unnecessary risk and mess that up, because we want the glory. We want the gloating rights over grandma, auntie, whoever. We can't have her running around the coop like she owns that joint. So we'll take our chances and our darts in the DFS world where it makes more sense. It's much more equitable for us to do that, but we're going to do it smart. We're not just throwing money at. It's not me sitting here saying, I think we have a process. So that's my big long-winded intro into what the process is and why you may want to listen to it. Now, before we get down into the process and just move forward with our fantastic look in the week 7, we got to go over where you can find us. Critical. We have a website, www.tigerbombsae.com. It's also a true crime podcast, some other stuff going on over there. Check out the website. You can listen. Maybe you're listening to this podcast there. Hooray for you. Spotify, iTunes, Stitcher, anywhere that you listen to your podcast on the go. Maybe you like to jog. I don't know why. Jogging's weird. I don't know why you want to do that, but if you like doing that, you could do that. You could search, you could use those apps and search for this podcast and everything else from Tiger Bomb by just putting in Tiger Bomb Sports Audio Entertainment. Hit the like and subscribe when that bad boy pops up, and then you won't miss anything. You have a chronological review of all the podcasts from every episode that we've put out. And so when I reference, we've talked about this before, especially in football, where we talked about these principles. So we're going to build on those now. go back and look at that. It's all still there, compounded year over year. This is fantastic information. Because it's like you can apply it to your own thinking. It's not, if you go back, it's still useful. It's not just, I was telling you some names. Now, at the end of the show, I will just tell you some names. We'll do that for sure. DFS, that's how we ended up. So we've gone through the website. We've gone through the apps. If you're a social media person, you know, Facebook, Twitter, you can find us the same way. At The Process, TBSAE. Twitter's really nice to get some stardom, send them questions. Taken care of, some banter, whatever you want to do, we could do it. If for some reason I offend you, or you want to tell me I don't know much about fantasy football, or something else mysterious, you can email me, theprocess@tigerbombsae.com. Okay, that's the important stuff, that's where you can find us. Now we need to get talking more specifically into week 7 before we get into our usual segments of reload and would you rather and you know, the DFS picks. We got to talk about and set the tone for where we go moving forward, because we're in week 7 now. It's a longer season now, so we got to hunker down and do this thing. We can't be defeated and done. We can't be gloating if it's going right. Now is the time, and I was thinking about this earlier, what's the best way to put it to the Tiger Bombers? This is what it is for us. Now is the time for the ascension. The ascension to the apex. What's the apex, you ask? The championship, stupid. That's what we're all here fighting for. Fantasy football glory. And when you get to the top of the heap, right? Like you have to go, you have to climb up, right? Like, and it's like a vertical move. That's what an ascension is. It's a you know, vertical climb forward. Think about like ascending a mountain. For Tiger Bombers, week 7 is the beginning of the ascension to the apex. Now we need to adjust what that means for some of us. If a championship doesn't look like it's in sight, is this a dynasty league? Can we set some stuff up for next year? If it isn't trade-wise, what can I get? How high can I finish? Can I not be the last person? Last place usually has a dirty deed in so many leagues. So we still got something to play for to finish strong. And again, DFS is where you're going to have your excitement if that's your case. If you're not a DFS person, you're already out seasonal, come on over. Come on over. Stop dipping that big toe in. And splash your whole booty in. The water is fine. We have a process. Look at that synergy. Brought it right back to the top. So, a couple of ways we're going to specifically think about doing this. I have examples. These are examples, and then we'll get to our segments. And that is what we mean by starting the ascension to the apex. Let me give you an example of how we follow the process and do that. Going to talk about doing some things that I usually tell you guys to do, or some suggestions I might give, and how you could specifically play that out. We have one seasonal example and one DFS example. So you understand what I mean when I say start the ascension. Let's take a look at the DFS first. Let's talk about a theoretical $20 to put into practice, for example's sake, how I'm trying to explain to you guys how you might think about playing the DFS world. Don't get married to this and these numbers. It's just conceptually something I want you to put in your head as a way that you might cut down variance. That's the reason why people don't do well in DFS on these websites, DraftKings and FanDuel. Too much variance. It's a lot of information you don't have. There's some rich dude on Wall Street. He's not smarter than you, but he's got 5 minutes for his next meeting. He can just pay, you know, for 150 lineups, and then he's got an algorithm to plug in all. You pay for the algorithm. You plug in the top 150 lineups for the week. How are you guys going to beat that? Follow the process. You can't beat a stadium's worth of people by guessing. You might beat a room's worth of people. You might beat your homies. But those people that I'm talking to you about, there's just a few ways you might beat them, and I'm impressing upon you that you might consider this way. So let's think about a theoretical $20. Remember, you can scale up or scale down. Minimum that they let you put in for DraftKings is like five. I think it's 10 for FanDuel, but you get the idea. Here's an example of how I might do that this weekend for $20. I would play $10 of that in double up games, right? Cash games, 50-50s. I would play $5 of that in tournaments. Okay, so that's $15. That's the term is the upside, right? More of the money's going into the double ups, to say, for the cash games. And then $5 going into the tournaments. And then I would pocket five. Leave five in the bank for next week. You guys getting the idea of what we're doing here? Now let's dive a little more specifically into that. Those $10 double ups, what might you do? Well, you could do it a couple different ways. I mean, you could do two $5 double ups. And again, remember what I've, you know, as far as the double ups go and the cash game or the 50-50s, I don't think the size of the game matters as much because we're still banking. If everybody, it's just got to be single entry though, right? But if everybody has one single entry double up game, like I'm telling you, we're going to be smarter than half of the people playing this. So you may take that $10 and do two $5 double ups. That $10 could potentially be $20 now, right? You could also do 10 $1 double ups, you know, maybe less thought process in some of those lineups by some of those people because there's less money on the line. If you want, it's up to you. You may do something else like two $2 double ups and one $1 double up. I think as long as you get to that $10 mark of this scenario, that's where you want to be. Now, as far as the tournament goes, let's take a look at this and make this make sense. So you've got $5 for the tournament. I think you take all $5 and you put it in one tournament contest where hopefully, for example, the multiplier would be 5, but usually it would be more than that. But you want to take your 5, like maybe the multiplier is 10, great, right? Maybe it's 20. I wouldn't play anything with multiplier 150. But take your 5, right? Don't put them in different contests, right? With this $1, that $1 tournament, that $1 tournament. Those $1 tournaments are as shaky as you think they are. Let's take all 5 and put it in one contest with the multiplier. So we're going to have 5 different lineups. This is a tournament, right? We've got to be typically, there's more if you win, right? But there's more at stake too. It's like more people involved. It's like harder to win. And so we're going to increase. This is all about taking our risk out and increasing our chances. One way we do that is by playing the multiplier and using that for all our different contests, right? And that's how you may do that, hoping one of those. So here's the idea. At the end of the day, double ups would be better than half the people. You get $20 coming back, right? Which is what you played originally. So you won your money back, right? Now, you've won your money back, but you also have those 5 tournament lineups that you put in, right? And so if one of those goes off, there's the upside, right? So at least we've won our money back. But the upside is we could win a lot more than our money. Plus, we still have $5 that we never use. So technically, we've got a $25 this the following week. Now week 8, you've got $25 that you started with, right? If you did the same thing, you would have 10 in the bank after making all of your picks, right? So that's something to think about how we may establish and build over and over and over again. If you really want to use that extra $5 of the original 20, don't put 10 contests, right? Multiplier 10. Don't do that. Once that contest fills up that you had, they will open up another one just like it. Once it, like they do this all weekend, right? Over and over, regenerate the same kind of contest until lock. And so you want to go and find the identical contest, whether it's there, whether you have to wait a little bit, but that's what you want to do. And then you want to take that $5 and do the same thing, 5 more lineups, right? I would probably take those original 5 lineups and put those 5 lineups into that secondary. So now, let's say one of those lineups do go off. You didn't just win one contest. You won 2 because you had each lineup in at least 2 contests, right? So I think hopefully you guys are getting that concept, and that helps you understand how we take the variance and take some of the unfairness out of it so that you guys can win. I really hope that makes sense, because that's the core of how you beat DFS. Seasonal-wise, let's take a quick – this is a quicker example. Just to show you, you know, you got to put your money where your mouth is. And right now the thing is trades, right? You got to try to do something if your team isn't where we know it needs to be. And as far as these trades go, we know we got to bring high upside, right, and high value if we want to bring something back. And so think about what you want to do with your trade and how you might get there. I'm thinking that I want to bring back a, you know, three down back, easily secure his handcuff, right, and have control of that backfield. What am I willing to give up for that? Well, I'm looking for somebody. I have some extra receivers. So I'm looking for somebody who's willing to give up a receiver, right, or who really needs a receiver, rather. And then I've got a handcuff or two. And so I'm going to go to those owners first and shop it to say, hey, do you want, you know, you're a handcuff, right, for running back. You know what I mean? So what that looks like for me right now in a league where I'm like middling, right, in the records, middling in points, I'm just kind of muttering along, got to do something, right? Put a deal out there for Kelce, couldn't get anything for it. What we were able to do, though, I was trying to move Kelce and Javonte Williams and Melvin Gordon III. I was trying to move them for Jonathan Taylor and Evan Ingram. And I was going to pick up Nyheim Hines, who's on the waiver. Now I still may pick up Nyheim Hines because if something happens to Taylor, now he's right back to dealing with me. But anyways, what I was able to do, though, you got to think differently. Julio and Sony Michel. I went to the Henderson owner, Daryl Henderson. So Julio and Sony Michel for Michael Carter from the Jets. And his backup sitting on the waiver wire. So I picked him up immediately. This guy needed help at wide receiver. I initially went to him with Robbie Anderson and Sony Michel. And he said, you know, that's really intriguing. He took a day. He said, it's really intriguing, but I don't think I can pull the trigger. I really believe in Carter, but feel free to send something else my way. So I come with Julio. Now, some people may think it's too steep, but I've got nothing. I've got 1 week from Julio. 1 week, 18 points, half point PPR. That's it. One is week six, y'all. So I'm holding on to a guy who has been hurt. They still have a bye. He's hobbled right now. Where is the upside? Historically had a problem scoring touchdowns, so I'm asking for yardage, but he's got a hamstring. Listen, if you've ever played wide receiver and you know about a hamstring problem, or if you've ever played football and you know about it, if you've ever played sports and you know about a hamstring problem, you know, you've ever ran and you know about a hamstring problem, you know that this dude is hampered right now, right? And so Michael and Sonny Michel is on my bench. I was holding him in hopes that something would happen to Henderson. I hate saying I hope something happens to a player, but anyways, I was holding him for that. So it just made sense to go to the Henderson owner, give him his handcuff, which he should have had in the first place. But by me luxury of picking that up and knowing he doesn't have it, then I can present it to him, right? Even some players don't think about stuff like that. Let's put it in their mind, right? It is a good idea to have that handcuff. Control of a good run game completely. So I've given him that in his backup, which is a much more valuable piece to him than to anybody else out there. That's the key to that trade. And of course, the high upside of Julio, because he does need, first of all, he wasn't playing Carter anyway. He's on the bench due to strong at running back. Even in a bye week, he's not using him, right? So there's no, this is not costing him anything. And Julio could potentially be a starter if the upside proves there, right? And so that's how you make a good deal. As you try to get what you want. Now, I know you guys are thinking, yeah, you wanted a three down bell cow running back, right? And it's like, you guys got to be, you're not getting Chubb, right? You're not getting any of this other stuff. Think realistic. Carter, much more manageable. He's coming on strong. Well, I wouldn't say coming on strong, but he's coming along, okay? And he seems to be taking steps forward, even though they're incremental and slow. Guys, that's a lot to throw at you right in the intro, but that's the stuff that you guys need so we can start pounding this. Like, the information is hot right now, so you got to stay on top of it. All right, let's get into the nitty-gritty, get you this info we need so we can pound week 7 just like we did last week for more victory.
And now it's time for the process to reload.
Process to reload. Love this segment. Hopefully, you guys enjoyed those examples in the intro there. I felt like Fire Marshal Bill, really dating myself. I don't know if anybody's ever watched In Living Color out there. I'm assuming whoever's into DFS is probably younger than that, but look it up. Early Jim Carrey character, Fire Marshal Bill. Let me show you something. He had a lot of examples too. His were funnier than mine, though. Okay. Quickly, Denver and Cleveland. This game is just played out the way that you would think it is. There's like a tier of teams in the NFL. There's a lower crest, a middle crest, and an upper crest. And Cleveland is at the top of the middle crest, but not quite at the bottom of the top crest, if that makes sense to you guys. And Denver's in the middle of the middle crest. You know, they're like, you know, they're not quite as good as Cleveland, and Cleveland isn't quite as good as, say, you know, the Chargers, right? There's a hierarchy, and these teams let it play out on Thursday, where Cleveland was able to win even with Keenum, and they did it by running the ball. That's what they do. Denver did not look great defensively, but not terrible either. I mean, they did play a pretty decent game, even though the kid got 100 yards to Ernest Johnson. For Denver's sake, you know, Javonte Williams scored that touchdown. That's great. Between the two backs, they're getting some steady production. Maybe that's why they've been reticent to let one kind of take over more than the other. But for whatever reason, Teddy's regressed a little. He's making some questionable decisions. Jerry Jeudy coming back, better snap him out of it, or else their trend is going to continue down. Reload. Cincinnati going to visit Baltimore, this divisional rivalry. Cincinnati looking to not be little kid on the block anymore. And, you know, this is as close as they've been in years to being able to have a legit chance to win this game. I think Baltimore is going to win, though. It's in Baltimore. But for Cincinnati's sake, they should have some success on the ground, a feasible amount. I can't foresee Mixon going off or anything, but he could, if he catches a few passes, he could have himself 100 yards all purpose. I wouldn't see anything wrong with that. Now, as far as the Cincinnati pass game goes, Burrow is not bad under pressure. He's actually really good. So Baltimore likes to blitz, and that's the thing that he likes. Like, if you do, like, he doesn't mind. And so this becomes a battle of the wills. Who's better at what their forte is, right? I do think that with the secondary issues on the back end for Baltimore and with Burrow just not being rattled by the blitz, I can't see them. Well, I can see them getting the best of him, but I don't think it's going to work out that way. I think he pushes the issue, but I don't think Baltimore loses the game because Lamar has developed as a passer this year. And so he's got Hollywood, he's got Bateman, he's got his legs. I think all those are the things that carried him the victory. More Walking Dead in their running back room. Now, you know, Latavius Murray's out. You know, it's Devonta Freeman who's probably gonna, you know, do most of the running. I don't want any parts of that, but don't worry. As far as we need to be concerned, Lamar will carry them. But Cincinnati's going to make it close. Reload. Washington going to Green Bay. Not a game they can win. Not a game they can win. They can't contain the Rodgers to Adams. That's going to be a connection that I see getting off. I do think Aaron Jones, probably a little bit more middling day on the ground. Tanyan, now that everybody's forgotten about him, he's going to be standing in the end zone catching a touchdown. I'll see him running up and down the field, but he could catch a touchdown. Against this Washington defense. Any other receivers for Green Bay besides Adams? I mean, maybe Cobb standing in the end zone, but as far as yardage wise, you know, I think everything they want to do can run through Rodgers and Devontae Adams with a few deviations for the sake of argument here and there. Their defense should have a fantastic day. But the problem, though, for them defensively is I think the pass rush is going to be stifled a little bit by some of these injuries they've been having. They've got some guys. They're mixing in some new pieces. But things don't just gel right away, right? These things take time. And so I think that there's a little bit of that that's going to have to take place. And so while they can win this game, I don't think it's going to be a perfect game for them. And so they should get King back, even though Jerry Alexander's still out. And so is Kevin King coming back? I think McLaurin should be healthier this week. He should be able to get back to himself. McKissick is in play. I wonder is, you know, how healthy Gibson is. That shin, I would love to recommend him this week, but I just can't. Shins are shins. I hope he's fine. He could very well have a good week, but I won't be having a part of it. But I do think McKissick, the way they were willing to use him as a runner and the passer, that boded really well. And so in a game where they look to be trailing a lot, I want to, you know, I think that he has a pretty substantial piece. And for DFS values, he's just too cheap. Green Bay wins. Reload. Atlanta and Miami. Okay, Miami, we got to watch and see if the corners play. If the corners didn't play last week, they got torched. If the corners play, then maybe it'll be closer. Byron Jones and Xavier Howard. These guys are both hurt, okay? So the problem is you got to check and see which one plays, if one, maybe not the other, whatever. But that's going to tell you how easy or not easy it'll be for Atlanta. If the secondary continues to miss guys out there or play banged up, then Atlanta has a chance to keep playing consistently. Matt Ryan's been leading them consistently, looking for Cordell Patterson. I'll finally get down and say you can play him. I so hate to make the play, but they can do it. I'd love to recommend Mike Davis, but I can't because they just have this insistence on using him. And so there's that. But Ridley, you know, everybody's looking for that. He could do it this week. I'm not recommending him, but the pass game is not in a terrible place depending on injury. The running game in a better spot, I think. Kyle Pitts should be able to have a nice day. If he can reach up to his potential for one more week and do it, he could see a nice turnaround. And the other side of things, Gesicki, they should just get him the ball somehow, some way. I don't care where you line him up. You got to get that guy's balls, hands on the ball. Waddle, they just get him the ball, regardless of who's at quarterback. It's just the depth of target that changes. Depth of target goes up, which we like when he has Tua out there. Tua's still the quarterback for now. There's a lot of Miami talk around Deshaun Watson. Seems like something this broken franchise would do and that it would not work out. But for now, that's not happening. Focus on this game is I think Tua can play well. A lot of people talking about the Atlanta side and Matt Ryan, but I think Tua took a step forward last week. That was a good game for him. Probably the best game we've seen him. He needs to build upon that this week, and he's at home, so he has a fantastic chance to do it. I think that he can do it. I think that Waddle will be a part of that, regardless of if Parker plays or not. I think Gesicki needs to be involved in that, and I hope that they could feed him there. Gaskin, he's in play, but I just don't think he's going to catch as many passes as he did last week, and so I don't like him that much. The Miami defense, again, it just depends on if these corners play or not. If they did play, I'd recommend that defense. If they don't play, you can't play them. And that balloons up the score, but I'm going to give it to him as the home team. I'm going to say Tua plays well again, but this time they find a way to win and get off the snide. They've lost five straight. That is not sitting well around there. Flores is a man. He's an action man. He demands action. They're going to get it this week. Reload. The Jets going to visit New England. Wilson, the rookie quarterback, ever roughed up by New England the first time? I don't think it'll be too different this time. I think Bill will run the ball because it'll be easy to do. I do think the Jets may have a little bit more success running the ball because Bill really focuses on taking away that thing you want to do the most. I think for the Jets, against New England, it's probably easiest to run the most. They may try to establish the run and hide the quarterback, right? So I think that that New England is probably going to stuff the run a bit, or try to at least, but they're dealing with some injuries, but they're going to try to stuff the run and force Wilson to beat them, which they know he can't. Now, I just think that their defense is in a good spot. I don't expect much from the Jets at all. As far as Carter goes, I do think he's just so cheap in DFS that we can play him if we need to. But again, the more and more I think about it, New England will win again, but it will just be a different kind of win this time as opposed to last time where they really focused on Wilson. I just don't think the Jets will lean on Wilson as much. I don't think they'll challenge it as much. They'll try to hide him, and I think that's where the contest lies. For New England, it's on the ground. it's running the football. So it's Damian Harris and it's Ramon Stevenson. Those are the guys you can get the touches, but it's New England, so it could be anybody, right? And it's not really about the passing game. If I do like anybody, it's Hunter Henry. I actually do like him. That's a great matchup. So I think that you could take a shot on Jacoby Myers, but I'm probably not going for any of those guys right now. Reload. Carolina at the Giants. So as far as these two teams go, Carolina, Pat to be the Giants going to be running the ball, and I think Hubbard's been getting better, better, better each week, and so I think we'll see more of that this week. 1 second, guys. Ooh, sorry about that. Okay. So I think we'll see more of that this week. Just getting increasingly better in the running game because we know that McCaffrey's not coming back for another couple of weeks. He's on IR. They're going to have to just get better at what they do. So I see that happening, taking a step forward. That's where the opportunity lies against the Giants. I do think that, you know, there's going to be some attention paid to Moore this week, especially by Bradbury. And so I would like Robbie Anderson because he's not catching him, but he's getting targeted like 10, 11 times a game. We can't ignore that. We can't ignore somebody being targeted that much. We have to pay attention to it. It's condensing. I mean, they have Terrence Mitchell, who's out now. He's got the concussion. I think he's going to be out. And so even if he is playing, he's a little hobbled. There's, you know, all the reason in the world to think that they'll continue to go to Robbie Anderson. And I think that he may have the easier matchup. So he's just got to catch him. He's a good receiver. He's better than this. And so we've got to play him for when he makes the turn. That's what this is all about at this point. We want to be a part of that. Those are the attractive parts of the Carolina offense. Their defense should play well too. The Giants should also have a chance to try to move the ball, but they're introducing so many newer guys. And Carolina's introduced some new guys like Stephon Gilmore into their game as well. So it's going to be like, that's why it's like, I don't want to take a lot of chances on these giant receivers. There's just a lot of moving pieces going on between both right now. So the thing about the Giants running game, though, is Devontae Booker is not very good. I don't think we can rely on that. That is the way that you would try to attack Carolina, I think, though. Daniel Jones maybe running a little bit too, but Jones can't run enough on his own, you know, leading the running backs to make a difference here. And so they're just not a very good football team. You could lean on the Carolina defense if you want this week. Their running game should be able to push them forward against the Giants. Reload. All right, Kansas City going to Tennessee. So, Kansas City, Mahomes hasn't been playing the best, but he still has the most touchdowns in the league, and to some degree, they're still them. Other parts are going to start clicking. Williams in the run game last week got things going. That's going to continue to improve. That could easily be his job, even when Clyde Edwards-Helaire is ready to come back, if he's established himself enough. This looks like a week for points. I know that's what everybody wants. As far as Kansas City goes, you can pass. I think that's a little easier than running on Tennessee, but there should be some room to run. I'm interested in Williams as well to take some pressure off of Mahomes. But I like Hill. I like Hill this week. He's in play for sure. Kelce, not so much. Hill, definitely. I also think on the Tennessee side of things, Tannehill's going to have to try to get the ball to A.J. Brown, but he's been sick, right? So now Julio's banged up and he's sick. These guys are a little bit hurt. Ferkser's in a good spot, but he hasn't been able to produce. I like them to lean on the run game. So I like Henry a lot right here this week. I think that they need to become more like Cleveland. And regardless of game script, you got to rely on what's brought you to the dance. And that's Henry. And right now he's hot. Like, he's toting the rock these weeks. He's paying off those high DFS salaries. And so we got to load him up. Kansas City hasn't been able to stop anybody on the ground. They've got problems in the air right now in this Tennessee pass game. Make things easier for Tannehill. Even if you rely on the run, then the play action could be opened up a bit. And so I think Henry's in a good spot. they're at home. That slows the game down, keeps Kansas City's offense off of the field, if you will. And so we're really playing a closer game than you'd like. For the Kansas City side, it's, you know, you got to go. You got to go. That's why the run game's in a good place, but you don't want to get into that with them. You got to push those points. And so that's why I like Hill. I like Mahomes in a game that I think that they – it's a get-right one on the road for them. Big win for Tennessee last week, followed by a big letdown this week. Reload. Detroit going to L.A. to face the Rams. Goff coming back to L.A. to face the Rams. You know he wants this one, and you know he can't have it. Detroit's not very good, and that's not going to change, even though he wants to win. I know for the Rams, this is not a thing for the coach and for the players that they want to win, but it's like for that organization, they need to win this game because they need to prove that they won the trade, right? I think as far as, looking at Stafford, I don't really see a lot of animosity. He's appreciative of his time in Detroit. It was at its end. He was able to get out of that. I don't think he has some stick it to them sort of thing in him. So I'm not looking at that. But Goff would love to prove that you should have stuck with me, right? He's in a worse situation. People obviously say he's a worse quarterback. He's going to try to show up. Now, his receiving room is dreadful and they're banged up. So he's got to try to get it to Amon-Ra St. Brown, I think it is. Is his name? I know I'm saying it incorrectly. This guy, you got to try to get it to T.J. Hockenson. I mean, really, Hockenson. That's your hope. Hockenson and Williams and Swift, the running backs. Those three, because he's a dink and dunker. They're not going to be able to push it downfield against the Rams. The Rams' defense is really good. The secondary is really good. They've been practicing against Goff for years. They know he's bad. They know just how bad he is. This could get bad for them. Don't see Detroit having a chance to win this one. I don't think the crowd is going to particularly hate on Goff, but they won't particularly love him or be like, thank you for your time. This is Stafford's world. And so as far as the Rams go, Detroit's having problems stopping the run. I think the Rams just lean on this run right now. I know that they'll get some pass because it'll be off some play action. So maybe the cup, for sure. But I just think that for the Rams, maybe Higbee, they won't have to do a lot to stretch the field. I think the defense and the running game will lead the way in this one, but I wouldn't be surprised if Stafford continued his little MVP season. Reload. Philly and Vegas, love it. These two teams are almost mirror images of each other in terms of what I think that they would want to do to be susceptible to one another. For Philadelphia, it's going to be about running the ball, and for Vegas, it's going to be the same thing. Both of these two teams have a sufficient enough pass rush that they'll have to try to take a chance on the ground a little bit more. And I love that. So I'm looking at a slower game. I'm looking at one where the strategies are, similar. The tight ends are probably the best plays for both offenses. The running backs are probably secondary, if not the best plays. So again, for both, Vegas, I'm looking at Jacobs and I'm looking at Waller. For Philly, I'm looking at Goddard, especially because Ertz is gone now, and I'm looking at Saunders. He's in a good spot. Also, you have Hurts, who's going to be able to run too and contribute to that run game. I wouldn't play Hurts this week just because I think he'll have a tougher time through the air. I'm not so much looking at Devonta Smith this week. I think this may be a little tougher one for him too. But certainly Goddard, Gainwell, don't have a problem with that. But ultimately, Miles Sanders, I think, takes a step forward. Nobody's thinking about him. Vegas a little susceptible to the run. I think that's where you go if you're Philly. Now, for Vegas' side, yes, similar deal. Bakar, a little bit of a better chance against the Philly secondary. I see Renfro having himself a fun, because they just pepper him consistently. His targets will be there, especially if we're paying more attention to, like, Ruggs. Try not to get burned by him deep, if you will. Waller, they won't have an answer for him, I don't think. And so Waller's in play. Ultimately, Jacobs on the ground, too. Again, I think this one's a toss-up. I'll give it to Vegas since they're the home team. But I would not be surprised if Philadelphia walked out and won that game. Reload. Houston and Arizona. Supposed to be a different kind of a game, right, with Deshaun Watson. But he's not playing for some mysterious reason. And so a little bit of a different tenor here. Watt going up against his former team, as well as Deshaun Nuck, I should say, rather, not Deshaun, say DeAndre Hopkins. So, look, Hopkins, getting healthier, had a decent week last week. He's going to continue the trend. You know he wants to play well. The thing about it is, I think for Houston, you can beat them by running. And so I like Edmonds. I like Connor especially this week. And I think those guys are viable. I do think that they would try to force it to Hopkins, and so he's in play for sure. But outside of that, you don't need much else. Ertz is in play. Houston is terrible against the tight end passing. They just traded for Ertz. This is a perfect time to get him involved. Easy way to do it. I really think that's a spectacular play this week. So I like him. Easily involved this week. I love it. Murray will find and use whatever's there, right? So sometimes it'll be running as well, and so he'll be okay. I think for DFS, he might be a little too expensive this week, but he's going to lead the way in a game that they're definitely going to win. Defensively, Arizona's going to stuff down Houston. I just think Watt's going to be motivated, of course. I also think on the Houston side of things, they're bringing in some new receivers too. Amendola's coming back now. They've also got Nico Collins mixed in. They've got Conley back. And so I don't – you guys have seen. It's not that I wouldn't recommend a Houston Texans player, but there's too much variance. Now we're talking about a bad team. They're integrating a lot of new pieces. We're not really sure what goes where, and so we don't need to get married to getting involved in that. Let's take a step back. We know the running game is crap anyway, and so ultimately we need to recognize that the Arizona defense is a good play, and those players that I mentioned on the offense are a good play as well. In the game, they should win at home in the desert and stay undefeated. Reload. Chicago going on the road to take on terrific Tom. Sorry, no offense, Tom Seaver. Tom Brady and company down in Tampa Bay looking to take on the Bears. Bears got thumped by Rodgers last week. Told him, I still own you. I own you. I still own you. As a Bear fan, it hurts, but it's true. Second Green Bay quarterback to own us, C1 B. Favre. Chicago, this is not a game they can win. I don't think there's a winnable game for them. I do think that there's some injuries on the D-line, so there's going to be some space to run for Fournette. I'm interested in that. But also, Brady's just going to find a way to do this. Antonio Brown is out. I like Godwin. He's just too cheap. I do think Evans has a harder time with Jalen Johnson this week, so Godwin in play for sure. I would have liked him anyway. He's just too cheap. Tight end, Gronk is going to be out. I think O.J. Howard is also out. Brady, not a good matchup against the Bears. But those other ways we just mentioned, that's how you would stifle this team. Really, it's going to be on Tom. He'll find a way. Whatever weapons are available, that's what he'll use. They'll lean where they need to and get the job done. On the Bears side of things, we want to get invested. This Tampa Bay defense is a pass funnel. It should theoretically be just a little bit easier, if not as simple as Green Bay was for the Bears. And so I do think that Fields, they would be right to serve to let him try again to sort of expand what he can do. That's got to be the gameplay. These are the easier matchups. You got to let him do it this because there's going to be harder matchups. So you want to give him a chance now. So I would take a tournament flyer on him. And everybody's on Mooney now, so I would pair him up with Robinson. I think this is the time. This is the week to get him involved. It's going to be too easy. Komet also in play. Khalil Herbert, but for catching passes, not for running. Tampa Bay is very good against the run, but if you want to play him in a tournament, that's where it's going to be. They're dreadful against pass-catching backs, and they let him catch a few passes last week. He's like the only show in town. Those are the paths to victory for the Bears offense in a game that they're not going to win. The win for them would be not having a terrible offensive day. Tampa Bay and Tom win this one. Reload. Sunday night, Wentz and company going to San Fran to take on Garoppolo and the Niners. Garoppolo, yes, he's back under center. And I think that he should be in play. Indy, terrible against the pass. That's the way that you would get it going against them. You know, the run game, not so much. I know that's a Shanahan thing, but the run game is a little less of a problem for Indy. Getting it done in the air is where I think you can win. So Garoppolo to Deebo Samuel, we like that. That's what we want to see. Maybe the tight end I don't think is in play. You could maybe take a flyer on Ayuk, but really Samuel is what I'm thinking. This is not a game San Francisco should win, though. Indy's on the crest up, and I think for them, you attack through the air as well, too. Great success on the ground last couple of weeks, but you know, I'm not so sure that's going to be there this week. Naheem Hines catching passes may be a little viable, but ultimately, it's going to be through the air. And so if Carson Wentz can stand in there and get the ball off to his receivers, primarily Pittman we're looking at, and everybody else lines up after that, then they should be able to, because they were on the road, so they should be able to stay in this one and keep it close. I think this is an entertaining game, a little bit of a back and forth, if you will. Teams profiling similarly, but I do think Wentz and company can go on the road and get this one. And so we have our final shot, and we'll make it a good one as I scream it up into the air. Reload. New Orleans going on the road to play Seattle Seahawks on Monday night. Seattle banged up in the running back position. Rashard Penny probably coming back, going to need him to tote the rock against New Orleans. Not a great team to run against anyway. You got to take your shots in the air. Geno hasn't been great in the air. I think this is more of a New Orleans defense sort of a deal. Seattle last week, they had a lot of time to prepare for that Pittsburgh game that they did not win. That's the most chance that they're going to have to look good. And so they weren't able to do it. I don't think that they'll be able to be better on less preparation time this week. And so I see this is an issue for them. Even though they're at home, New Orleans could be in a good place. I like Kamara. I think you can try to run with him, get the pass off. As far as that goes, you want to try to pass against Seattle, but where you would pass, I have no idea, because they have a lot of injuries in the New Orleans passing game. And so you've got to be critical about who you go to. As far as the Seattle pass game goes, Geno's just having a hard time getting it to people. And so I think for them, it's a running game sort of a deal too, even though New Orleans should be tough there. Not really sure what to expect in this one, but I do think that New Orleans will go on the road and win it through Jameis Winston. He will find whoever, if it's Callaway or Harris, whichever receivers suit up, Kamara catching passes, but they'll find a way. The defense will lead the way. And that is the reload for this week. So we've gone through it, and hopefully that will get you guys ready and prepared for week 7. Let's play a round of Would You Rather. And so, we play Would You Rather for week 7 of the NFL season. Let's just kind of dive into it, see if we can't tackle a bunch of these for you. J.D. McKissic or Darnell Mooney? I would go with J.D. McKissic this week. Khalif Raymond or Ricky Seals-Jones? Washington is going up against Green Bay. I'm going to say I'll take Ricky Seals-Jones. Jacoby Myers or Antonio Gibson? Give me Gibson. Goddard, Dallas Goddard or Jalen Waddle? Both in good spots. Let me get Goddard. Devonta Freeman or Marquez Callaway? If he plays, I like Callaway. Callaway should play, and he should rock. J.D. McKissic or Rashad Bateman? They're going to feed Bateman, but McKissick's going to need to help the Washington team catch up. Let's pick out Miles Sanders or T. Higgins. Miles Sanders, he's in a great spot. Khalif Raymond or Naheem Hines? I would probably go with Naheem Hines. Not sure what the Lions receivers are going to get production-wise against the Rams this Sunday. Hunter Renfro or Michael Carter? Renfro's got a better shot. Carter's going to get more touches, and Renfro will targets his way. But Renfro could make the most of his, I think. And so I would go with him. But Michael Carter, depending on how New England plays, could end up seeing a better role. Renfro. Jamal Williams or T. Higgins? Williams. Jamal Williams or Hunter Renfro? Renfro. Let's go with Allen Robinson or Mike Gesicki. Allen Robinson, he's in the prime spot. Just give him the ball, baby. Zach Ertz or James Conner. Conner, a little easier to pound the rock on the ground at the goal line than pass it in, but Ertz is in a great spot too. Ricky Seals-Jones and Devonta Smith. This week, Ricky Seals-Jones, but it's seasonal. Don't do it. You better go with Devonta. Mike Davis or Robbie Anderson. I'll take Robbie, Mr. Anderson, because they refuse to recognize Mike Davis and that he is an actual running back. Dallas Goedert or Michael Pittman Jr. Pittman Jr. is in a good spot, but so is Goddard. Let's go with Goddard. Devonta Freeman or Tyler Lockett. Gotta go with Freeman. He's in a good spot. He's just not a great player. Lockett doesn't have anybody throwing it to him. Robbie Anderson or Michael Carter. Robbie Anderson, so many targets. Just got to do something with it. Miles Sanders or Jamar Chase. Jamar Chase can't be contained. Allen Robinson or Miles Sanders. Allen Robinson is in a great spot, but Miles Sanders for sure. Tote the rock. Zach Ertz or Christian Kirk. Zach Ertz this week, baby. Mark Ingram II or Zach Ertz. Zach Ertz, because who knows what Houston does on the ground. It's not run the ball. T.Y. Hilton or Michael Carter. Let me go with Carter. T.Y. Hilton banged himself up last week to come back early. Plus, who knows what's going to happen against the Niners, although he's in a good spot. Robert Woods or D'Ernest Johnson. D'Ernest already played. Is Woods going to eclipse him? Probably not. Julio Jones or Elijah Mitchell. Julio Jones. T. Higgins or Elijah Mitchell. T. Higgins. I don't think Mitchell's going to be the guy. Even if he is, he's going to have a tougher day. Jamal Williams or Brandon Ayuk. Williams. Devonta Smith or Javonte Williams. Javonte, because I don't think Devonta is going to touch the numbers that Javonte did. Devonta Freeman or Hunter Renfrow. Renfrow. Josh Jacobs or T. Higgins. Josh Jacobs. Corey Davis or Ramondre Stevenson. Ramondre Stevenson. Matt Prater, the kicker, or Rashad Bateman. Prater. Mike Evans or Leonard Fournette. Fournette. Chase Edmonds or Hunter Renfrow. Edmonds. Chase Edmonds or Jalen Waddle. Edmonds. Nyheim Hines or Mecole Hardman. Hines. Mike Gesicki or Darnell Mooney. Mike Gesicki. Devonta Smith or Khalil Herbert. Khalil Herbert. Julio Jones or Hunter Henry. Julio Jones. Mecole Hardman or Michael Carter. Michael Carter. All right, that's been Would You Rather this week. Hopefully that gives you guys a great sense of what I would rather do for week 7 if I had the opportunity. And if it doesn't and you have something else that you need, you know how to find me on the Twitter.
And now time for the part of the show where the process goes over our DFS fantasy football picks for the week. We'll go over cash game plays, tournament or GPP plays, and sometimes talk about stacks that you can use to leverage your wins for the week.
It's picks, baby. It's time. Time to get you goods. Gonna build on last week. Keep condensing the choices so that you guys have the best opportunity to win. I forgot to mention this earlier, but I want to empower you guys to think about, don't just play all the tournament picks together. You could also play cash game picks, and because we want to mix in those sure things, right? Don't underestimate how much you could have similar to everybody else and then just deviate a little bit and how much that will win you. You don't have to get crazy, right? And so a lot of times you want to be as sure as you possibly can be, and that's going to involve these cash game picks to boost these tournament lineups up. And then we just get the high upside to the moon from somewhere else in the lineup. All right, that being said, couple options for you guys this week. QB first, cash game. Lamar Jackson is where we start at the top. $7,400 bucks. Everything they do runs through him, and that's not going to be any different this week. And if you want a cheaper option for the cash games, it's Tua. Yes, $5,500. We talked about Atlanta not being that great. People talking about the other side. Let's get different. If he's doing all, if Matt Ryan's doing all that, then the Dolphins will have to play keep up. right? And so Tua at $5,500 leaves us a lot of room in our cash game lineup for some very expensive receivers. Those are the two ways you go. I try to fit in Jackson over Tua, but if you want to pay down, do it with Tua. You've got to be different, even in the cash games, to win on DraftKings. Like, you know, this is simple. So many people are thinking about the same things. We need a sure thing, but we need a sure thing that nobody else is really looking for. And the tournament is just a crazy moon upside. As far as these tournament goes, for quarterbacks, I'm going to give you five options. Okay. So again, remember in our theoretical example earlier, five lineups, right? These would be the five quarterbacks. At the top, Pat Mahomes, $8,400. And again, I'm giving you high and low so you can decide what you need. Sometimes the best way to use my picks will be to be doing what you want to do anyway. And then when you have gaps, right, like this slot or that slot, and you only have so much left over, I've given you picks at these different price points. So you should be able to just slot somebody in. Hopefully that makes sense. Pat Mahomes, $8,400 at the top. Tom Brady, $7,700. He's going to beat the Bears. He's going to beat the Bears. Rodgers will continue his streak of good play. $7,500 this week. Burrow, $6,200. I'm taking a chance on him against that blitz for the Ravens. Excuse me. And then finally, Josh Fields, $5,300. Tampa Bay is a pass funnel. Bears are going to be down. He's going to have to do something. As good of a matchup as last week, if not better, has to capitalize. Let's see. Those are our quarterbacks. So you've got five options for tournaments, two for cash. Move on to running back now. We take a look at cash game options. At the top, Henderson. Last week he did it for us. This week he can do it again. $6,600. We're still comfortable with that. Josh Jacobs, $6,200 against that Philly defense. This is the way to beat them on the ground. Hubbard, $6,100. Talked about the reasons why he should be effective again. Williams for Kansas City, $5,800 at that price. We can weather that. And then Damian Harris at $5,700 and McKissick at $5,000. Those are your cash game running backs. As far as the tournaments go, Derrick Henry at the top. So expensive. A lot of people not going to want him, but we're paying down in so many other spots that we should be able to easily afford him. And so you could even afford him with some of these lineup builds. You can afford to put him with Tyreek Hill if you wanted to. And so there's an opportunity to do that, which I think that I'm going to do this week. Is I literally would like to play Mahomes and Hill and bring it back with Henry because of the game script that I explained to you guys earlier. And so all these price points make it happen, but Henry's at the top for tournaments. Fournette, $6,400. Then you could play Patterson if you want. I probably will not. $6,300, you could play Patterson. He's okay. Swift at $6,000. I'm much more interested there. Connor or Edmonds, they're both $5,600. You could play both. If I had to edge one or the other, I would say probably Connor, but I really feel equitable about my chances of either one of them exploding. Khalil Herbert at $5,200. Miles Sanders, $5,100. And then if you really are stretching, you could play Carter at $4,800. But I probably would try to avoid that, maybe one lineup. Bottom it out with Sanders at Herbert. Sanders is a great value at $5,100. I think he's going to have a great week. Those are the running backs. So if we move on to wide receiver now, cash game, again, condensing it. I've got, one, two, three, four, about six options for you. They only let you pick three, right? Four if you have a flex, so you guys know where I'm going. One expensive, some middle, and then some cheap stuff here. The top, Tyreek Hill. They're going to win this game. He's going off. I think, the two receivers are him and Kelsey. Kelsey's in a tougher matchup. You go to Hill. He's going to be free up top. That salary can pay off. Chase, and he's cash game. So Jamar Chase, $6,200. He's going to get behind the Ravens defense, I believe, and I don't believe that he's going to be heavily owned. This is why he's a cash game play. That's a friendly price. We can pay that. Godwin, $5,900, even more so with Brown now out. Godwin, because I think Evans sees Jalen Johnson, and so Godwin should be available to smash. That's a great price. Plug it in. Waddle, at $5,600. We like that because he gets so much attention. Again, Tua isn't showing him less attention than Brissett. He's just extending the A-dot, which works in our favor. And so at $5,600 for a guy so involved, we can't ignore him, which is why Robbie Anderson is a cash game play. Dude gets 11 targets 2 weeks in a row. You can't ignore that. And then one of the other receivers gets hurt. You can't ignore that. The choices keep getting condensed. They trade their tight end. You can't ignore that. Like, these things are happening, and his price is too friendly. He gets too many options to pay it off in a game where he should have an opportunity to see some good looks versus his counterpart, which has a tougher chance. Hunter Renfro, $4,800, too low for a guy too intricately involved. They'll be paying attention to Ruggs over the top and then busy dealing with Waller. Renfro easily could find some open space. We will be there waiting. GPP side, Adams at the top, $8,900, connecting with Rodgers because they have nothing else. He runs the whole pass game. He could get 200 yards a game if he wanted. They're going to take a run at that. Hopkins, $7,700. It's a tournament play because, again, the running game is the way that Houston is a bit more susceptible. And so, but Hopkins playing his old team with chip on his shoulder, something to prove. We'll take a chance at $7,700. Very friendly price. McLaurin, $6,900. If he's good to go, that's a friendly price. So we'll take some tournament upside there. Julio Jones, still banged up, but A.J. Brown, sick. You know, as of, you know, Friday, not feeling well still, not getting food down. Might have to rely on Julio, $6,100. Let's take a chance if he plays. Hollywood Brown, $5,800. Too cheap. Too cheap for a guy seeing so many looks. We have to play him at that price. Allen Robinson, our guy we've been talking about, $5,100. Friendly price, which is why we have to play him. You could play you could play Tom Brady, you could play Godwin, or you could bring it back with Robinson, basically. Giving you guys some core builds, really, to think about. And then Rondale Moore for Arizona. I just think that his A dot around the line of scrimmage plays well for this game. So at $4,400, I'm invested. I'd rather like him than, like, you know, some of the deeper options like Green and, like I was telling you guys, Hopkins not in a great spot. But more interesting, Bateman, $3,400, entirely too cheap. Entirely too cheap for somebody so involved, entirely too cheap. Tight ends. All right, if we take a look at the tight ends, cash game-wise, I've got a couple. And I want to tell you to watch Pettis, Dante Pettis. If Slayton doesn't play, you can watch Pettis. He's 3K. Can make some things work for you. As far as the tight ends go, I'm not going to play Seals, Jones, Ingram, or Tanyan, but those guys are all in play. They're fine. If you want some guy that's just standing in the end zone for a touchdown, you can easily play them. Now, cash games. Waller, $6,700 at the top. I like him far and away better than a lot of these other options, but there's other options this week. Four for cash games. Next, you get Hockenson at $5,100. Goff is going to need him in a game that they're going to be trailing. And that's the best matchup of the day that they have in the game that he will be passing. So that's the blanket right there. Goddard, $4,600, a fantastic play against the Raiders. And then Ertz at $3,900 in a pivotal spot. I almost want to put it in tournaments more, though, because it's unproven. It's new. We don't know. I think they'll force the issue in such a good matchup, though, which is why I'm going to say you could bottom out your cash games with it. But in all candor, probably try to put them in tournaments. Speaking of the tournaments, want to pay up? Pitts, $5,900. Do it before everybody hops on. Gesicki at $4,700 is a good value. If they decide to use him in a way that he's most effective, it will pay off for them. Hunter Henry, $4,100. Best matchup in the passing game for New England. And then Cole Kmet, $3K. Could pair him with Fields and Robinson. It's a low-end Bears stack, so if they do go off, lots of room for other upside of that lineup. And Kyle, and then Uzoma, 3K at the bottom. He's actually secretly in a good spot against that Ravens defense. Finally, as far as defense goes, give you a couple of options. We're not bottoming out like we've been in past weeks. We're going to actually stop at the Cards. They're the best option for me this week versus Houston, $3,100. I'm locking that in mostly across the board. I'll play the Pats for some diversity versus the Jets, $3,400. If you want to pay up, you got the Bucks versus Chicago at 4K. That's a very good play this week. And then Rams versus Detroit. Rams were great last week. They should be great again this week, 5K. And with the lineup builds we have, you should have no problems paying for any of those guys. So those are my picks for this week. I sincerely hope that we continue to let the good times roll in you guys' favor. You know how to get me if you have more questions or concerns. But other than that, getting this out to you guys early, plenty of time to listen, re-listen. Don't forget, since you're getting this early this week, a day early, right? You have to be careful to go back and look at who's out. Usually I'm taking that to much more consideration later into Saturday. You've got to do that homework now. Until next week, Tiger Bombers, good luck and peace.
The process is brought to you by Tiger Bomb Sports Audio Entertainment.